Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning,
Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on! Yes, sir. Good morning, family. Happy Friday. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading you up until 6 o'clock as the morning roast will take you until 10. We're going to be all over the place today. We did have a Warriors-Thunder game last night. Want to talk about that a little bit. The game was not that interesting. Steph just taking advantage of a team like the OKC Thunder. I will say that even though that the Warriors and the Thunder, it's not going to be a competitive matchup because the Thunder are without two of the guys they're trying to build this team with in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and the 7-foot, 190-pound rookie, Alexei Pokuševski, or Poku, as he's so rightfully called. Even though it's not going to be a competitive game, it's a joy to watch Steph just toy with teams. And that's really what we saw last night. So we'll get into the game and the future for the Warriors, because there was a name that was reported out there by Marcus Thompson of The Athletic, who the Warriors internally are discussing adding to the roster. So we'll get to that. We got Langford's Long Balls coming up at 5:45 today, where I choose my five favorite home runs from the week. Because if Major League Baseball is not going to market their players, well, let me do some of that at 5:45 on a Friday at 5 a.m. on a San Francisco radio station. So that'll all be coming up. And will the 49ers make an acquisition of an old friend? That'll all be talked about today within this hour. So we got a packed hour. But I just want to start off with my favorite play of last night's game in the Warriors' win over the Thunder. Again, I mentioned that Steph, watching him take advantage of these teams, is a lot of fun to watch. And when Moses Brown goes one-on-one with Steph, Steph shoots the three, misses it. Then they get the offensive rebound. Steph gets the ball back. Then Moses Brown tries swatting the second three-point attempt, and he kind of failed.
Looney has it. Warriors attacking the basket to our left. That is a south basket of Chase. Curry off the screen by Looney. No good. Rebound to Caban. Got it over to Curry. Pump fake. Fly by. Three ball. Yes.
He wasn't going to miss four in a row.
No.
It was just so funny. You know, because you're watching this game, the Thunder, you know, they came back a little bit, but in the end, the Warriors had the lead the entire time. The Thunder had no chance. But that play, I think, was a microcosm of just how the Thunder played against the Warriors. It was just Steph heaving up a three, Kevon Looney getting the offensive rebound, and then Moses Brown just flying by Steph, and Steph knocking down the three. Steph started laughing as he was trying to get back on defense, but Steph with just an easy 34 points, 7 assists. He had 4 rebounds, 21 shots, and 6 for 13 from 3. But not only that, last night, you see this every now and then. He's been a little inconsistent in terms of just knocking down the three ball, especially when he gets his minutes. But Michael Mulder last night knocking down 7 threes while attempting 13 of them, which matched Steph, and he put up 25 points. And Michael Mulder coming off the bench, if the Warriors are going to make any sort of run in the playoffs, and we'll get to the Western Conference standings and what the play-in tournament means, because I'm really at an impasse here with who I want to see the Warriors play. But with Michael Mulder, if he's knocking down three balls like that, and you're getting that type of production off the bench, then the Warriors, I mean, they can be competitive, even though they're playing with a very strained roster right now, a roster which does not have many pieces. Alan Smilagic and Nico Mannion finally getting some minutes last night. But if Michael Mulder plays the way he's playing consistently, you know, the Warriors, I think they could be competitive. I don't know if the expectation is there for them to even make it past the first round if they get through the play-in tournament. But I thought Michael Mulder was a lot of fun to watch last night. But the Thunder are just a bad team. Overall, they're a bad team. Darius Baisley, 22 points on 19 shots. Lou Dort, 3 of 13. He only had 7 points. He, you know, he plays good defense, but scoring is not exactly his strong suit. It can be, but not exactly. Overall, they shot 23% from 3. You're never going to beat the Warriors when you're shooting 23% from 3. So it just wasn't even really competitive for a majority of the game. But I do think that the roster that they're going to be filled out with, because, look, they got another game with the Thunder on Saturday. I think we can expect them to win that one. I don't know if Pokuševski or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are going to be back. The Thunder are absolutely tanking this season. They want to try and get the highest pick possible just because of how deep these rosters are. And let me pull this up, because Damian Lee, there's been a lot of questions with Damian Lee and wondering where he's at. We knew he was out due to health and safety protocols. And Damian Lee spoke before the game, and this is the situation that he's been in, and this is why Damian Lee has been out for so long.
Basically, long story short, I did test positive for COVID about 2 weeks ago. I did get the vaccine the middle, end of March. And I mean, essentially, this was just a rare breakthrough case. After doing the research, it's been about 6,000 people that have tested positive with breakthrough cases out of the over 80 million people that have been fully vaccinated. And right now, there's no timeline in the immediate future for me, you know, coming back and playing. I mean, obviously, protocols and hurdles that I have to clear from, you know, the medical side. But then as well, you know, after that, and then it's just a matter of getting back into basketball shape.
And then Damian Lee continued and talked about the symptoms that he's been feeling.
I had symptoms for about 8 days. And I had headache, chills, sneezing, congestion, soreness, body aches. Felt like I was hit by a car, like hit by two cars at once. Every step I took, it hurt. There was pain. There was soreness. Felt like there was a weight on my chest for a couple of days. Like it was just hard to breathe. Loss of appetite. And then even still, you know, I don't fully have my appetite all the way back. Even random headaches like brain fog where I'll start a conversation and be in on the conversation. Then like 5 minutes in, I'd either just lose track of what I was talking about or just don't want to talk anymore.
So I'm not going to get into a whole conversation about, you know, vaccines and everything surrounding it, because it's just such a rare case that Damian Lee was in. And it's scary to hear that. And it's unfortunate, but it just seems like his season might be over. It's a little too risky to bring him back, especially with those types of symptoms that he's feeling. And as of right now, the Warriors played 10 guys last night. They've been going with an 8-man rotation for the most part because Smilagic and Mannion aren't going to be playing whenever they're involved in competitive games. Eric Paschal is on his way back. He is currently, he's been doing 3-on-3 drills for the last 4 days. He's ramping up his conditioning, and the expectation is that he's going to be back before the end of the regular season, most likely before the play-in tournament. So, Pascal's needed, man. They need Pascal in this time, especially when they go on after the Thunder to go on to face the Suns and the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies is going to prove to be a huge game for the final game of the regular season. And that's where we get to Kelly Oubre. I don't know what the future for Kelly Oubre is here, because he's, surgery is not required, which is a good thing. But he will be reevaluated in 1 to 2 weeks. I'm not going to hold out hope that Kelly Oubre is going to be back before the playoffs if they get past the play-in game. If Kelly Oubre's back, then that's great. And then they'll need Kelly Oubre for sure. But I don't know if he's going to be back. And that is why they are looking for other guys. The other day, Steve Kerr was asked about who, if they'd rather add someone to the 8-man rotation, and he said, I'll talk to Bob Myers after we're done with the road trip and we'll see. And then it was reported yesterday from Marcus Thompson that internally they are hoping to bring back former Warrior Jordan Bell. And Jordan Bell, I believe, was on the Wizards. And here's the situation with Jordan Bell. They can essentially sign him to a two-way contract, which would have no effect on the luxury tax. No effect on the luxury tax. They do need to add a 14th man to the rotation, and I think they are going to. That means most likely that JTA, Juan Toscano-Anderson, will move on from the two-way contract to a contract with the 15-man rotation. And it could be a multi-year deal. Next week, we could be seeing Juan Toscano-Anderson and his fate with the Warriors, and I believe that he's absolutely deserving of a multi-year deal with this team, and the heart that he's shown and the fact that he's just a great teammate. All the fans love him. I would not be surprised in the least if they give him a multi-year deal, and the reason being is the Warriors are required to add a 14th man by next week, and then they can also add Jordan Bell into the mix, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I don't know about you at 888-957-9570 on the text line or the phone number. I am all for the Warriors possibly adding Jordan Bell. Now that we've seen what happened with Kelly Oubre, we've heard from Damian Lee here, because they need a big guy and they need bodies. Here's the thing. For me, I don't know who the Warriors are going to be playing in the play-in tournament, right? Right now, they're the 8th seed. They're 34-33. They're a half game up on the Grizzlies, as the Grizzlies lost to the Pistons last night. It's going to go back and forth. It's going to come down to this last game. Who knows where the Warriors are going to stand. Right now, battling for the 7th seed are the Lakers and the Blazers. Anthony Davis tweaked his ankle last night, so it could be very possible that the Blazers jump them. There's a lot that can happen in this next week, in these final few games, with 5 games left in the season. But they need to add somebody, because if they're going to play the Grizzlies in the end of the season, in this last game, it's not just Ja Morant on that team who is just absolutely lethal. He's just so good at coming off screens, knowing what to do. He knows whether to pass it, go to the lane, drive to the hoop, whatever it is. But another guy that he's been in sync with a lot of the season, and someone we don't really pay attention to, and you're going to think, why are you talking about this dude? But Jonas Valanciunas, he's been averaging a double-double in this last stretch of games, in the last couple of months. He's been a very, very good player, and that's why the Grizzlies are there at 500 right now, because really their roster is not that great, but the connection between Ja Morant and Valanciunas and him knowing where to be on defense and just having that big body presence, I think that's why you need to bring in Jordan Bell. If not Jordan Bell, you need to get some other big man that you can sign to a two-way contract. And then you go from there. Hopefully you get the 8th spot, because you're 3.5 games back from that seventh spot. You're not getting the seventh seed. That's just not going to happen. So the eighth spot is the best that the Warriors can hope for. And I think in order to do that, just putting bodies on the floor, getting let the bodies hit the floor, getting Eric Paschal back, having Jordan Bell, a guy who has played with the Warriors before, not knowing what's going to happen with Kelly Oubre, I think they absolutely need to make this addition in order to stay competitive down the stretch here all the way to this last game. 888-957-9570 is the text line and the phone number from the 925. Bell is not only a big man, but he's also a big who knows Kerr's system. Go get him, Dubs. I love that mentality. 888-957-9570. Coming up in about a half hour, it's going to be Langford's Long Balls, where I go through my five favorite home runs of the week. It's a very fun segment. Pete Rose, though, was on Steiny Guru and Dibs yesterday, and he was talking about Willie Mays on his 90th birthday. It's a terrific interview. I recommend you go on the Odyssey app and you go back and listen to the entire thing, because it's always a fun interview when Pete Rose is on the station. But he had some stuff to say regarding the rule changes, and I want you to hear it, because you're hearing from an old school baseball guy in Pete Rose. Hear what he thinks of the rule changes. That's all coming up next. Stephen Langford did all the pregame show, 95.7 of the Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
You know, 925, I read your text in the last segment right at the end, as we talked about the fact that the Warriors should bring in another piece. And when Marcus Thompson of The Athletic reported that the Warriors have had some internal discussions about bringing back Jordan Bell, and I'm sitting here on the air at the end of the segment, and I'm saying the Warriors do need to bring back Jordan Bell, and then the 925 agrees. I went into that break, I'm not going to lie, I hit the break, right? And I was like, wait. Are we really saying that we want to bring back Jordan Bell? That's where we're at now? As Warrior fans? That's crazy. That's crazy to think about, because it's absolutely validated. I do think they absolutely need him. But that was just insane. I went into the break and I was like, did I really just say that the Warriors, we just did a couple of minutes on the fact that the Warriors need to bring back Jordan Bell just to add a big man to the rotation? That's just insane where we're at right now. That's insane where we're at. All right, coming up in about 25 minutes, Langford's Long Balls. Go through my five favorite home runs from the week, because if baseball is not going to market their players, let me do it for them, even though it's at 5:45 in San Francisco on a radio station in the morning when not as many people are in their cars and a lot of people, quite frankly, are sleeping. Shout out to you if you are awake right now, because if you are on the way to work or if you're coming back from work, we know that you guys are important in society, and you are needed, because if you're awake, you're obviously doing something important, and I'm doing something the least important. I'm just trying to give you a little entertainment as your day goes on, so thank you for tuning in. Before we get to Pete Rose and what he had to say about the rule changes on Steiny Guru and Dibs, because I do find it interesting to hear Pete Rose speak any time at all on this radio station. But yesterday, I went to the A's and the Blue Jays game, and real quick, before I get to that, I just want to say, my fandom, here's how my fandom works, okay? My parents, they tried raising me as an A's fan, but growing up and watching Barry Bonds, I kind of looked at him as some sort of god, and that kind of turned me into a Giants fan, but overall, I'm mostly a Bay Area sports fan, and it was great because yesterday was able to meet my mom for the afternoon game against the Blue Jays, and you know, she hadn't been in a couple of years, and I couldn't tell you how long it's been since she hadn't been to I couldn't tell you how long it's been since she'd taken a season off from going to a baseball game. I'm pretty sure she'd been at least once every single year, so you know, being without baseball in 2020 without fans was just kind of strange. So it was just great to be back, you know, with the parents and everything. But in this Blue Jays game, You know, it was entertaining. There were a lot of hits, and, you know, it was back and forth, back and forth. Then the Blue Jays got the 5-4 lead early in the fifth inning, and then Sergio Romo came in with the bases loaded in the sixth, and the Blue Jays knocked the game wide open and then ended up winning that one. But Bo Bichette, their one of their star players, their shortstop, he's great, and he's going to be an absolute stud going forward, as well as the rest of the Blue Jays roster. But have you seen these new... I don't even know what to classify them as, because they're not baseball pants, but they're not baseball shorts. I don't know what to call them. If you're an A's fan and you're watching this game yesterday, feel free to chime in at 888-957-9570. If you've just been watching this Blue Jays series and you've noticed Bo Bichette's style, you know, he rocks it. Jonathan India, the rookie from the Reds, he rocks it. I don't know what to call them, but they cut off at the knees, you know? I don't really know what to... I don't know what to make of them. Clearly, they're done for comfort purposes because, you know, you don't want long pants and then having to put them up and you end up looking like Babe Ruth out there and, you know, having baggy pants or whatever. But I just don't understand it. I don't really know what to make of it. And Bo Bichette was one of the stars of that game yesterday. He was a ton of fun to watch yesterday. He was making plays at short. He was doing it on the base pass. I mean, you know, sliding into first to beat out an infield single and, you know, stealing second. He was a stud out there. But I just don't know what to make of this half baseball pant thing. You know, with the high socks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just type in Bo Bichette on Twitter, look up a highlight, and you'll see what I mean. I just don't know what to make of it. All right. Pete Rose, he was on Steiny Guru and Dibs yesterday, and he had this to say regarding the rule changes, and he makes a lot of good points, but I also wanted to point something else that happened yesterday around sports that kind of negate what he had to say. But here's what Pete Rose said on the rule changes. This clip is a couple of minutes, but it's a couple of really good minutes. So take a listen to Pete Rose on Steiny Guru and Dibs yesterday talking about baseball's rule changes.
I can't remember in the last 10 years a rule change that's helped the game. It don't help the game you can't break up a double play. It don't help the game that you can't run into a catcher if he's blocking the plate. It don't help the game if you can't pitch inside. You know, I know you don't want to be a headhunter, but you got to be able to pitch inside, and that opens up the outside part of the plate. I have no idea why you started an extra inning game with a man on second base. I mean, the one rule that baseball should try to do is speed up the game. They don't do anything that they tell you they got a clock. I've never seen that called. Okay, you have so darn many pitching changes today, you're going to have long games. You're going to have, and I'm going to take another thing about baseball, and I follow this religiously. Okay, I watch three games every day. I live in Las Vegas, and the early games start at 10 or 11 in the morning. The night games start at 7, and the Midwest games start at 3 or 4. So there's just so many home runs hit today. I mean, I'm tired of home runs. I'm tired of pitchers not being able, and if you watch baseball, which I know you guys do, you will be amazed how many runs in baseball, Major League Baseball, today are scored in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings, because very few teams have good middle relief pitching. What is middle relief pitching? Okay, it's guys that aren't good enough to start, and it's guys that aren't good enough to close. But you got to have them on the pitching staff. Okay? Everybody's got starters can go 5 or 6, and everybody's got a closer. But it's the team with the best middle relief pitching are the teams that's going to go to the playoffs and eventually get to the World Series.
And they're trying to implement more and more. And this is why I like what he had to say toward the end there. He's right about, you know, there's too many home runs out there, and that's why I do Langford's long balls at 545, because there are so many damn home runs, but you can find a fair few of them that are actually pretty cool with the story behind it. So that's why I do Langford's long balls at 545. But When it comes to starting pitching, we are seeing a little more and more pitchers go deeper into ball games. Sure, the opener is used on, you know, some teams, but we are seeing, you know, guys on the Giants, different other, you know, guys on the A's too. Cole Irvin had an 8-inning game the other day, which was the longest for any starter. But that is why I am all about this new rule they're doing in the Atlantic League. They're trying out in the Atlantic League, which is that double hook rule, where the starting pitcher, and you've heard me talk about this time and time again, where the starting pitching is out there for as long as there's a designated hitter. So there's a designated hitter in the lineup as well as the starting pitcher. But when the starting pitcher is taken out, then the DH is taken out. So you bring in a bullpen arm, but that bullpen arm is inserted into the lineup, and it creates a little more strategy for the manager. But not only that, it incentivizes the manager to keep the starter longer in for ball games. And I absolutely think that that is a way that you can solve it. You know, putting the pitching mound back a foot, I don't know what that's going to do. You know, that can go either way. You can make arguments for both sides there. But something that happened yesterday, the Tigers and the Red Sox combined to score 21 runs. It was a 12-9 ball game as the Red Sox won. And it was the first time at Fenway that many runs were scored without a home run since 1961. And I think that that's the type of ball game that you'd like to see. But that's also the thing is, baseball is just a long game anyway. I know you have the pitching changes and everything, but if, you know, there are a ton of singles and runners being put on base and there is a lot of action, it's not exactly going to fix the length. Like, I don't see what is going to fix the length of baseball games. You know, I don't see any rule changes that could be made where you can just say, yeah, we do this, then you shave off an entire hour out of a ball game. Baseball's just a long sport, right? I think that's just something we have to deal with at this point. You know, like that's kind of where I'm at with baseball. And I'm kind of tired of just complaining about the rule changes. If you don't like baseball, you don't like baseball. That's fine. That's totally fine. I understand that. But if you like baseball and it's just constant complaining about the game, it's just, how about you focus on what's happening on the field instead of just, you know, complaining about the fact that there were too many home runs hit? You know, and I get where Pete Rose is coming from, because Pete Rose is old school. You know, he's way more old school than I am, and he has a different outlook on baseball than I do, especially with the type of player that he was. Right? Now, the sliding into home thing, we know what happened with Buster Posey in 2011, and that's when they made the rule changes. You know, the pitching inside stuff, whatever it is, there are only so many changes you can make. I don't think you can fix the length of a baseball game. Baseball is a long sport. That's it. You know, and it's not like every game is going to be two and a half hours unless you just switch every single game to 6-inning ball games and you turn it into Little League. But I love baseball. OK, I love baseball, but we just need to get back to talking more about the game, because, you know, when we do talk about the fact that these games are too long, it's overshadowed by the fact that there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent out there. And when I hear, you know, Pete Rose say that, I think he echoes the sentiments of a lot of people. A lot of people. And you know what? Just going out for a day game yesterday, A's versus Blue Jays, sun is shining, you're just getting to watch some baseball. It's just a lot of fun whenever you get to go out there to a game. Sure, it might not be the most entertaining television product, but you're not going to change the length of baseball. You're just not. From the 707, I haven't seen Bo Bichette and I can't look it up while driving. Do not look it up while driving. But it kind of sounds like football pants. Yeah, have you seen that? This new trend where it's not baseball pants. They're not, you know, long pants that you either ride up your legs so you can have high socks or you just leave down. But they're created like these football pants. Football pants without pads. You know, they kind of look like kickers in a way in the NFL. I don't know what to make of them. I don't know what to make. They, you know, they're supposed to be for comfort for these guys, but just seeing them in person, I was like, this is a little odd. This looks weird. I don't know. Bo Bichette, a lot of fun to watch. All right, coming up in 12 minutes, Langford's Long Balls at 5:45. But I want to know from you, and I just want to have a quick discussion on this. what do you think as a 49er fan about adding Richard Sherman? 888-957-9570 is the text line and the phone number. We'll get to all that next. It's going to be a packed final half hour on this Friday. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Before we do get to Langford's long balls at 5:45, Stephen Langford in with you up until 6 o'clock as the morning roast will take you till 10 on this Friday. But I wanted to get a gauge from 49er fans on how they're feeling regarding Richard Sherman and possibly adding him to the roster in the 2021 season. 888-957-9570. That's the text line and the phone number, of course, if you want to weigh in, as it is every day, and as I repeat about 50 times a show. And I know if you listen to the entire show, you probably get tired of me repeating the number, but there's always new people coming in. You never know. And that is why I do this, because I'm getting someone who I've never talked to before on this show. Rudy in Concord wants to give me some insight here on these baseball pants, shorts. I don't know what to call them, Rudy.
Well, my buddies and I, when we go out, you know, we'll see these guys, most of the time they're overweight, and they've got these, shorts that hang way down.
Uh-huh.
And, they're pretty much, capris for women, you know, and, the shorts, we call them shants. You know, they're not pants, they're not shorts, they're shants. So they're pretty much capris for men.
Wait, so you're talking about this, are you talking about this in regular, just everyday life, or are you talking about this from a baseball perspective?
No, I'm talking about it in everyday life, but, I mean, that's what I'm visualizing as you were describing what it was,
yeah.
You know, but we call them chants, you know, and it's usually the guys that are, you know,
be careful with the wording.
Yeah. Well, I can't say what I want to say, but they're pretty much chants.
Okay, Rudy.
They're capris for women.
I appreciate the phone call, Rudy. Man, look, I think that might be the new name for him, though. Because I was wondering, when I went to the A's and the Blue Jays game yesterday, and I saw Bo Bichette, he was killing it in the game. You know, it was making plays at short. He's a lot of fun to watch. You know, he's one of those players that everyone kind of hopes for. We talked about the rule changes and Pete Rose saying that there's too many home runs. And a lot of guys, you know, wish they could get those types of players back who primarily, you know, got base hits and stolen bases and played good defense. Well, Bo Bichette does all of those things. But Bo Bichette also wears these baseball pants / shorts. And Rudy says they're called shants. And I think that that's what I'm going to go with now, going forward. Baseball shants. Why not? I mean, they're clearly used for comfortability. I see Bo Bichette using them. Jonathan India from the Reds uses them. Shants. Baseball shants. That's what we're going to be going with now. All right. The reason I asked the question about Richard Sherman is because he was on First Take a couple of days ago on Cinco de Mayo, and he had this to say when he was asked if there's a chance that he could return to the 49ers.
There's always a chance it could end up working out back in the Bay, mm-hmm. and I head back that way. You know, that's another place I'm really comfortable going. Obviously, know the staff, know the team well, just spent time there and would be ecstatic, you know, if something happened there. But, you know, they have a situation, but it's one of those things that will happen probably late or during the season, if it happens at all.
See, now, here's where I was at with Richard Sherman last year, and I didn't really understand why 49er fans were so mad that he was candid about his contract situation, because, you know, I get it. Late in the season, when he was on the 49ers Talk podcast with Matt Maiocco, he mentioned that it's just not in the works with his contract, that, you know, even though he'd love to come back with the 49ers, They clearly can't pay him what he feels that he's worth, which would be possibly a multi-year deal, you know, worth anywhere from 10 to 15 million a year, depending on what it is. And he knows that with the way that the salary cap was working for the Niners and who they had to pay, that it just wasn't in the cards for him to come back. And, you know, much to the chagrin of 49er fans, they just weren't too thrilled with how he was saying it. But look, I thought that, you know, hearing a player talk like that was great. But then, you know, when he did play on the field and you saw him get beat a couple of times, fans, I think, started to call it lazy. You know, and they go back to the game against the, I believe it was, it wasn't the Bills. I can't remember which game it was, but he just got absolutely torched. And fans were saying that he kind of just gave up on the season. And then at that point, they're just saying, all right, Sherman, see you later. But if they can bring him back, I don't know how much money he's going to be commanding now because he's still a free agent. And clearly teams aren't, you know, they're not breaking the bank to bring Richard Sherman to their squad. So I think that he'd be willing to come back on more of a cheaper deal. And also the way that the 49ers have restructured their salary cap, the fact that they brought in, you know, a rookie quarterback. I think it could happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think it could happen. And quite frankly, I think it's much needed because he brings something that's intangible, something that we don't see as fans, but what he does in the locker room, how he is a leader, understands the type of attitude to have going into the playoffs. And I think that that was a big reason in 2019 as to why the defense, even though they were relatively young, you know, they looked and played like a veteran defense. And I think a big reason for that is because of Richard Sherman's, I think because of Richard Sherman's leadership and just his knowledge. He's a smart dude. I remember Brian Baldinger, and this was last season. Brian Baldinger did a breakdown, and Baldy's breakdowns, it's great. He's short. It's Shark Week. Time to eat. All right, there we go. Sorry, I did my little Baldy impression at 5:45 in the morning. It's a little too early. But and that was just so half-assed. But Richard Sherman, using his IQ, even though he's not the speediest guy, he knows how to read the receiver and what they're going to do. Now, do you want to put Sherman head-on against DK Metcalf, who's trying out for the damn Olympics? Probably not, right? And if you haven't seen that, DK Metcalf, he's trying out for the 100 meters. I'm actually looking forward to seeing that. But look, I just think that he's could be a valuable piece to this team moving forward if they do want to continue to have success in 2021. And if they do stay healthy, I do feel like they could be a very good roster. And, you know, I do think they have a lot of potential. I don't know if there's going to be a shakeup. I don't know if he'd start because it seems like, you know, with Verrett and Emmanuel Mosley, the Morning Roast just spoke with the new third-round pick, Ambry Thomas, yesterday. They got some guys in that secondary, and I don't know if it's going to end up in Richard Sherman starting. I don't know if it ended up in him being a backup, but I do think that he does bring something that can that's very valuable, and that's just that veteran presence, and that's always what you want. Quite frankly, I'm surprised that the Raiders didn't sign him. Instead, they signed Casey Hayward, you know, and I thought they were going to sign Sherman, to be honest. I really did, especially after the whole tampering thing with Gruden and the Collinsworth podcast. But in the end, I do think that he would come back to the 49ers. And I think as 49er fans, even though you didn't really like the way that he left things because he spoke in the middle of the season about his contract, I do think you should welcome him with open arms if he does, in fact, get signed again. 888-957-9570 is the text line and the phone number if you want to weigh in. But we do this every Friday. I do this every Friday, and I don't even care if you like it or not, but it's Lankford's Long Balls. It's a lot of fun, and we have a very special edition of this one because it's the anniversary of one of the greatest home runs in baseball history. Let's get started. I'm not going to play that one till the end, by the way. I'm not going to play the anniversary home run till the very last one, because it's one of the greatest calls in history. It's one of the greatest reactions to a home run in history. I think you can get where I'm going here. If you catch my drift, it's Big Sexy. But I do want to start off. I go through my five favorite home runs of the week. There are so many damn home runs hit in the league. There are too many. There are. Let's be honest. But if you sift through the hundreds of home runs that are hit, you can find a fair few that have a cool backstory behind them. So this is one that happened on Monday. This piqued my interest. And number five on Lankford's Long Balls, Lorenzo Cain.
Good work, obviously, Billy McKinney, Tyrone Taylor. Pitch to Cain, a drive, hit back into left center field. Lorenzo Cain has returned with a lean back jack.
Man.
Wow. That's a return.
I love Lorenzo Cain's swing. I love the whole get on the back foot and lean on that back leg, and you got your back essentially parallel to the ground. I love that. But in his first at-bat back from his injury, in which he was out for quite a while with the Milwaukee Brewers, in his first game back, first at-bat, hits a 440-foot home run, 115 miles an hour off the bat. It was the third hardest home run that he's hit in his career, and he did it in his first at-bat back from an injury. You love to see that. You love to see that with Lorenzo Cain at number five on Lankford's Long Balls. All right, let's go to number four. This guy was a honorable mention last week, but we go with Atlanta Braves, and we go with Huascar Ulloa, the pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, who hit a grand slam.
And a high fly ball center. That ball is going to go. It's a grand slam for Ulloa.
I think we can go ahead and say Kelly won to mix it up tonight.
Sorry about it.
And just for his at-bat. Who even cares about his pitching right now? Oh, my.
Not only is he pitching really well, but Ulloa hits a grand slam. And he also hit one last week. You know, it didn't mean anything because the Braves actually hit five home runs in that game. But he gave himself a five-run cushion at that point because he hit the grand slam already with a run on the board, and he's already had two in the past 2 weeks. It's just a guy that, quite frankly, before the season, I'd never heard of. He bounced back and forth between the Venezuelan League and then to the Atlanta Braves minor leagues, and then he eventually worked his way up to the roster. In his last two starts, he's hit home runs in both of them. So shout out to Huascar Ulloa, number four on the list of Lankford's Long Balls. All right, let's get to number three.
Well, they used a no-hitter saver, and this definitely may be a game saver.
That one's hit well, right field. Stewart back. Stewart at the wall. And that baby's gone.
Have a day. Have an inning.
Have an inning indeed. It was 5-5 in the eighth inning against the Orioles earlier in the week. Ramon Laureano already made a play at the wall to save a run and to keep the game tied. But then in the top of the eighth, in the bottom of the eighth when he came in, he hits it into right center, an absolute jack. And when Ramon Laureano gets pumped up, that's a lot of fun to watch. You know, and as far as just Bay Area baseball players, that dude's got more personality on the field than a lot of these guys. He's so much fun to watch. I don't care about the stats when it comes to Laureano, okay? I really don't, because the stats may not always be there, but, man, when he gets pumped up, when he plays in the outfield, makes a diving grab, throws guys out at third, throws guys out at home, and they try to run on him, he's one of the most entertaining players in the Bay Area, and he can get it done like in that time in the bottom of the eighth to give the A's the lead over the Orioles. And just seeing him all jacked up, rounding first, that was just a great home run to see earlier in the week. All right, that was number three on Lankford's Long Balls. Let's get to number two.
Shohei will be ready on the first pitch.
And on the first pitch, a big ball out to right center field, and that one ain't coming back! Nice call on that one, Karnak. You were all over that.
Shohei Ohtani has tied the league lead with 10 home runs. He's batting .266 on the year. But Shohei Ohtani is just mashing right now. And not only that, but he's pitching incredibly well, too. And he pitches throwing 96, 97, 98 miles an hour while also having a good breaking ball. I mean, this dude is just an unbelievable player. And when I saw that home run that was hit last night, every single one is cracked. I mean, he was listed off in the first week of Langford's long balls because of what he did on Sunday Night Baseball. But again, listen to just the crack of the bat from Ohtani.
Shohei will be ready on the first pitch.
And then the commentator also predicted that he was going to hit a home run right at the beginning. We all do that, don't we? I mean, I did that like five times yesterday, just hoping one of them would hit. Didn't end up happening. Like when the error was made in right field at the A's game, when Teoscar Hernandez just let the ball go by with two outs, and Ramon Laureano ended up going to third. I'm like, this is where Matt Olson normally takes advantage. He's going to hit a home run. I was telling my mom, who I was at the game with, and then, you know, he struck out. That happens from time to time, pretty much every time. I don't know how commentators do that, but shout out to him for actually predicting it correctly. All right, number one on Langford's long balls, and this dude is my long baller of the week, but it is one, not Mike, but Giancarlo Stanton.
That one's drilled to right center field and deep. There it goes! See ya! Off the back wall of the bullpen! He extends his hitting streak to 12 straight. The magic wand lives. 1-0 Yankees.
I haven't put Stanton on this list just yet, even though you'd expect him to be up there every week. But this man is hitting at an incredible pace, and that home run was a 117-mile-an-hour home run off the bat. It went 40 feet. And as of yesterday, he continues his hitting streak, and he is batting just over .500. He has 6 home runs, 11 runs scored in that span. Giancarlo Stanton is on an absolute tear, and this guy hits him just as well as anybody in the league. I just hope that he can stay healthy, because that's been an issue with him for a majority of his career, is the fact that he just can't stay on the field. But man, he leads every statistical category when it comes to StatCast with the exit velocity. I mean, he had a 118-mile-an-hour single the other day. The dude just has so much power, and he's a lot of fun to watch. But he is number one on the list for Langford's long balls. So we had number five, we had Lorenzo Cain. Number four, we had Huascar Ynoa from the Atlanta Braves, the pitcher who hit a grand slam. Number three, we had Ramon Laureano. The reason I put it at number three is because it gave the A's the lead, and it was just a fun home run to watch, watching him round first. Number two, Shohei Ohtani, just because this dude does something every week, and the fact that he's tied for the league lead in home runs with 10, and that's the one that did it. You're going to make the list of Langford's long balls. And then, of course, number one is Giancarlo Stanton. But I teased it, and it is the anniversary of one of the greatest home runs of all time, and this is how we're going to close out this week's edition of Langford's Long Balls. But today is the anniversary of Bartolo Colon hitting his first home run ever 5 years ago today.
Colon looking for his first hit of the year. Oh. He drives one deep left field. That goes Upton back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened. The team vacates the dugout as Bartolo takes the long trot, his first career home run. And there will be nobody in the dugout to greet him. This is one of the great moments in the history of baseball. Bartolo Colon has gone deep.
Bartolo Colon going deep. And if you watch the video, you're not going to see a better reaction from the dugout, just because they are all smiles. Jacob deGrom still had long hair at that point back in 2016. But Bartolo Colon, just that smile that he had running around the bases, that little smirk. Oh, man. 5 years ago today, and the commentator just said, "The impossible has happened. This is the greatest moment in baseball history." Oh, man. And if you check it out, if you look around videos around the internet, you'll find that Bartolo Colon is playing in like these softball leagues now, and he's cracking home runs there. It's always great when you got Bartolo Colon that could be in, that could be involved in Langford's long balls. 5 years ago today, his first career home run. All right. Let's reset a little bit because we have talked a lot about just everything today. We went through, the 49ers and whether they can add Richard Sherman. We had the Pete Rose clip with the baseball rule changes and the fact that I'm just kind of at the point now where there's no rule changes that you can make that are going to save time in baseball. You're not just going to make one rule change, then all of a sudden you're going to cut off, you know, 30 to 45 minutes out of a game. Baseball is just a long sport, and I think that that's just something we're going to have to deal with. But the Warriors did get the win over the Thunder, and they got another one on Saturday. And last night we got the update. Anthony Davis tweaked his ankle and left the Lakers game. Don't know where LeBron is, and the Grizzlies ended up losing to the Pistons, and this could have some implications going forward with the Western Conference standings. But right now, the Grizzlies are a half game back of the Warriors, who are currently in the eighth spot, while the Blazers are in the seventh spot, and the Lakers are in the sixth. But the Lakers are winning a tiebreaker right now, so that's why they're in the sixth spot. The Lakers very well could be in the seventh, and at this point, I'm at an impasse with who I want to see the Warriors play in this play-in game. Because, you know, seeing them play the Lakers would be incredibly entertaining, and I would just love it if they did beat the Lakers in one game and you know, they'd move on. Obviously, the Lakers would have to go on, and, you know, because the loser plays whoever wins the 9 and 10 seed, so the Lakers still would have another shot. But I'm just at the point where I was thinking about it on the way in, and no matter what, you know, we always talk about legacy and the fact that Steph is going to do it against the Lakers, get his revenge. There's always going to be detractors out there. There's always going to be someone who's trying to tarnish what he does because it's Steph Curry. It happens every single season, no matter what he does. It feels like that he can never please the NBA fan base. It'd be great for us Warrior fans, right? But sometimes we do care about what others think, and there's always going to be these little excuses made, and I can guarantee you that if they get the Lakers in that seventh spot from the eighth spot, and they beat them, and then eventually the Lakers go out of the playoffs, then they'll say, well, LeBron and AD were hurt, they weren't playing at 100%, blah, blah, blah. You're just never going to hear the end of it. But coming up next, thank you so much for joining me on this Friday. Coming up next, the Morning Roast. We got a great show for you coming up. Nick Friedell going to be joining them at 8:50 today.